Romans chapter 1, verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How many know that gospel means good news? Never forget that gospel means good news. Now, well, just don't ever forget that, will you? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Hallelujah. Something is revealed therein. Therein what? Therein, in the gospel of Christ. In the good news of Christ, there's revealed something. There's revealed the righteousness of God, and it's revealed from faith to faith. It's revealed from faith, and it's going to result in faith. Praise God. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And then let's go over to 2 Corinthians. Review just a very little bit here this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we want to read verse 9. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Now, we won't take the time to read all the verses in here to give you the context, but what he's talking about is the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the New Covenant, and talking about Moses and the glory and so on that was associated with the Old Covenant. And he's saying, if the ministry of condemnation, calling the Old Covenant a ministry of condemnation, he says, if that was glorious, or if that be glory, that's what he's talking about, if that be a glorious thing, then he says, how much more will the ministry of righteousness exceed in glory? In other words, he's calling the new covenant the ministry of righteousness. And as I said, our problem has been really why the churches haven't made more progress than they have in getting the job accomplished that Jesus gave us to do is because we haven't ever really started living and taking advantage of what we have under the new covenant. Been too much under the old covenant. Now I'm going to show you that more today. I told you, as we continued on, you'd see this more clearly. But so many things, we're still living in the old covenant, under the Old Testament, and we've got to get it straightened out and got to get it clear of the difference. Now, it says, how much more the ministry of righteousness or the ministration of righteousness would exceed in glory. Whatever they had, we ought to have a lot more of it. That's good. Now, I want to go over to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. I trust you did bring your Bible. Hebrews chapter 10, the first verse tells us this. For the law, this is referring to the old covenant, the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things. Now notice it says that the law just had the shadow of the good things to come, and it wasn't the real image. It wasn't the real substance. You know, it's sort of like you can hold up a stake in front of the mirror, and you just get a reflection of the stake. In other words, you can't eat that reflection, can't you? Eating that mirror isn't going to do you any good. But when you get hold of the very substance, when you get hold of the stake itself, that's what it's talking about here. It's saying that in the law, it was just like you were looking in a mirror and you're seeing it, you know, or seeing the shadow of it, seeing a reflection of it, but you really couldn't dig your teeth into it. It wasn't the real thing. You're just seeing the real thing, but you didn't have the real thing. Get that? This says the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of those things. And maybe we'll study along in this passage more later on, but for now, that's sufficient. You see, this is saying that in the new covenant, we've got the very image. We've got what they were waiting for. We've got what they were just had the shadow of. Now, in Hebrews chapter 8, let's look there. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6 says, "But now hath he," referring to Christ, Hebrews 8, 6, "but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." Hallelujah! We've got a better covenant established upon better promises than they did under the old covenant. And in our new covenant, we have been, there's revealed the righteousness of God. And that's what makes it better. That's one of the things that I don't think there's anything more exciting in all of God's Word than the righteousness of God, studying about righteousness. What is righteousness? Well, that's something they talk about in the Bible, isn't it? That's something, some religious word, I guess, isn't it? No, it's a word that we've taken and made religious, but it's not any more a religious word than piano. It's a word that is an old English word that used to be spelled right wiseness, and literally means that, right wise, right standing, right relationship, being right, righteousness, the righteousness of God. Now let's turn over to Matthew. Sort of sounds the same, Matthew and Hebrew, doesn't it? Matthew chapter 6. We want to see something here. Matthew 6. Let's just read verse 32. "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's Matthew 6:33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." How many of you are doing that? How many of you are acting on that verse? Well, what are you doing that for? You know, you see, that's living under the old covenant if you're doing that. Now, don't turn me off. Just hang on. Just listen and let me prove this out with Scripture. You see, there's something we've got to realize. Matthew is in the New Testament, but it's recording the ministry of Jesus and what He's saying here before the new covenant had come into effect. You see, the new covenant didn't start until after Jesus died and was buried and rose again. Did it? No, it didn't. And this is before then. And He's saying to these people, He's saying to these Jewish people, they had a covenant with God. They're under the old covenant, the ministry of condemnation. They're under that is not as good as what we've got, right? We've got a better covenant established upon better promises. And so Jesus said to them, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Now, I don't want to knock this completely out from under you, because I know a lot of people, they like this verse, and it's a good verse, and there's a principle here. You know, if you put God first and so on, well, things, God will take care of you. But that's not literally what it says, but the principle is true. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's take that part first. Okay, first of all, let's turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Now we're going to get in to the new covenant. We're going to find out what we have and who we are, what our position is in Christ in the new covenant. You see, Jesus back there, he's talking to people under the old covenant there in Matthew. Now in Colossians chapter 1, I want you to notice something. Verse 2 says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. Did you catch that? This is to who? Brethren in Christ. Right? Now, if you weren't here last time, well, you missed this, so we'll just take a moment and fill you in. But the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new creature. How do you get in Christ? Well, Ephesians 2:8-10 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, now catch this, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. You see, when you're born again, when you receive Jesus, you're saved by grace, you are born again, and you're created in Christ Jesus. Did you get that? In Christ Jesus. It's like this. This is as good as an illustration as I suppose there is. When a woman marries a man, well, she takes that man's name. If she was Mary Jones and she marries Mr. Smith, she's no longer Mary Jones, but she's Mary Smith. See, she becomes identified with the Smiths, not the Joneses. You catch that? Well, when we're born again in Christ, we're born again, we're saved, we're born again. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. So, listen now. This says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. We're brethren in Christ, aren't we? If we're in Christ if we receive Jesus as our Lord. Now, so this is written to us, right? Who is us that this is written to? Anybody that's received Christ, right? Anybody that's been saved by grace through faith and become God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus? Okay, let's read verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, that's an old English word, means able, which has made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us. I'm glad I'm delivered. Who hath delivered us from what? From the power or the authority. That means the authority of darkness. Now in the Bible, what does darkness represent? It represents Satan and his realm of activity, doesn't it? The kingdom of darkness is the kingdom of Satan, isn't it? Wouldn't you agree that darkness is talking about Satan here? Satan and his works? Sure. I knew you'd agree. Who hath delivered us from the power or the authority of darkness. Now, catch this. This is twofold. He hath delivered us and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom. This says, who hath delivered us from the authority of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom. That's past tense, isn't it? Hath is Old English past tense, isn't it? This says in the New Covenant, written to the church, telling us who we are in Christ, written to the brethren in Christ, addressed to us, it says we have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Is that right? Okay, now let me ask you this. If I walked up to you and I said, I'm seeking the United States of America. I'm seeking the United States of America. Where can I find the United States of America? You'd say, well, you dummy, this is the United States of America. This is Colorado. It's one of the states in the United States, right? You don't have to seek it. You're here. You'd probably say something like that, wouldn't you? Well, if you say, well, I'm seeking the kingdom of God, you don't have to seek the kingdom of God. If you've received Christ Jesus, you're in the kingdom of God. You say, well, I thought we didn't get that till we got to heaven. Well, that's what you get for thinking like that instead of reading what the Bible actually says. You say, well, it don't look like I'm in the kingdom of God. Well, you got to look to God's Word. See, kingdom doesn't necessarily mean country. It means the reign, the rule, the lordship, the dominion. See, you're not under the dominion of darkness, of the devil anymore. If you're in Christ, you're under the dominion, the lordship of God's dear Son. We've been translated into His kingdom. Hallelujah. It's just like if we were in Russia, we were under their authority, we're under their laws, and a helicopter came over there and dropped down and picked us up and brought us to the United States of America. See, we're delivered out of that country and we're translated into another country. Now, let me ask you this. How much power do the Russian government, or their laws have over you then? None. Isn't that right? If you might have been born in Russia and lived there for 42 years, but when you're delivered out of there and you're in the United States, well, the Russian laws have nothing to do with you, do they? They have no power over you. Do they? Well, just the same way, you need to see that Satan and all of that has no more power over you than if you'd been change countries from Russia to the United States of America. Just has no more power over you. Now, this says that we have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Let's look in Luke 17. Praise God. Luke 17, verse 20. It's referring to Jesus. And when he, Jesus, was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God shall come. Remember, that's what Jesus said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, didn't he? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, there in Matthew 6:33. So the Pharisees are asking him, when the kingdom of God should come. He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. In other words, don't depend on your eyes to know when the kingdom of God comes. He said, going on then in verse 21, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. See, the kingdom of God begins on the inside of a person. The rule of God begins on the inside of you, making Jesus the Lord of your life. He begins to rule on the inside of you. Now, certainly, we're going to see a full manifestation of that one of these days, to where the whole universe is going to be absolutely under the sway of God's rulership. Then we'll be able to see it. I mean, everywhere we look, everything will be. But actually, he said the kingdom of God is within you. Praise God. Okay, so since he says this, the kingdom of God is going to be an inside thing, and Colossians tells us that we have been translated into the kingdom, then there's no sense seeking the kingdom, is there? I mean, if I was wanting to see Steve Scott, I wouldn't go around saying, oh, I'm seeking Steve Scott. I'm seeking Steve Scott. No, he's right here. I don't have to seek for him. I mean, the Bible says, seek and ye shall find. When you find, you stop seeking, don't you? Sure. Well, this says, according to Scripture, now you can believe it if you want, or you can just go on your unmerry way, because if you don't believe God's Word, it won't be too merry. But anyway, it says that we're in the kingdom, so we don't have to seek the kingdom. What we need to do is find out what we've got here in the kingdom. I mean, if you had lived all your life in Russia, but you changed countries and you came to the United States, there'd be a lot of things different, wouldn't there? I'm sure there would. Praise God and thank God for this good country that we got, where things are the best in the world. But you'd have to get acquainted with some things. I mean, just a lot of things. You would have to learn how to live here. You'd have to learn what rights you had as an American citizen, if you became a citizen, wouldn't you? You'd have to find all that out. If you didn't, then you wouldn't be able to get any advantage out of it. See, you might be entitled to say, and this is not necessarily a good thing in a lot of respects, but then it is some. But you might be entitled to welfare, for example. And you might be sitting there starving to death and not realize that you could get some welfare here, you know, get some food to live on till you got going in this country. If you didn't know that, you could sit there and starve to death all the while that there was provision available for you. Well, that's what we've been doing as Christians. We've been in the kingdom of God and been sitting here like dummies. Like we weren't there, you know. We just been sitting on the, most of us hadn't been on the front row. We'd been on the back row. But we just been sitting there waiting until we got to heaven. No, when we got to heaven, we were really going to do something then. We were going to be righteous. We were going to have our needs met, you know. We was going to be able to walk with God and have all these wonderful things. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Yeah, it's going to be wonderful there. But it's supposed to be wonderful here too. Okay. We don't need to seek the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of God. We just need to find out what's here and what we're supposed to be doing here while we're in the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? We should realize who we are and that we're under a different kingdom than the other people that haven't received Jesus. All right. Matthew 6:33 said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and something else, His righteousness." Now, a lot of times, we need to think about what some of these things in the Bible sounded like to the people when they heard them. And not just run over things quickly. That's why we have to repeat things and talk about things a lot of times, is because so many times we just hear something and we just, you know, think it says something else. We don't really think it about what it says. But you talk about the righteousness of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Think about God's righteousness. In all the annals of history, is there any record of God ever doing anything wrong that you know of? Have you ever heard of God making a mistake? Have you ever heard of God having a failure? Missing it some way? He had to go back and say, "Oh, sorry, I didn't mean that. I made a mistake. I slipped. I missed it." No record in all the history of God ever doing anything wrong, is there? His righteousness is first class, then, isn't it? I mean, His right standing, as far as the universe is concerned, is impeccable. It's perfect, isn't it? I mean, absolute perfection. You can't get any higher, could you? Could you? You out there, you gone home. He says, seek that. Seek that. I imagine they thought, how in the world could I have God's righteousness? Why? How could you have that? Well, praise God, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. Hallelujah. How do you get it? You get it by faith. Glory to God, and it's going to result in faith. It's going to change your life. It's revealed in the pages of this book, as 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. We need to receive instruction in righteousness so we can know about righteousness. Praise the Lord. So, what did Jesus say in Matthew 6:33? And we're going to be finding out more about God's righteousness. But just bear this in mind as we study it. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Well, we already found out where we stand on that. "And His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When? When are they going to be added unto you? Well, he doesn't exactly say it, but it seems to infer that when you get the kingdom of God and you get the righteousness, you're going to get the other things. Isn't that right? Praise God. And that's good news. You're going to find out and realize, look, we received all these things when we're going in. Here's the way I confess it. I have sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now all those things that I had need of have been added unto me. Did you catch that? You see, you've got to get the time factor in the Bible. I mean, Jesus was talking to those people before the new birth was available, before He had died on the cross and been raised from the dead. And now it's not a matter of, you see, this is what I'm talking about. We're living under the old covenant. We haven't realized, look, we're in the kingdom. It belongs to us. We're in the family. These things that God has are ours. They're ours to use. It's not a matter of, well, will God do this for me? God has already done it. And as far as He's concerned, you have just as good a righteousness as He does. Oh, glory to God. We've got to get in the Scriptures. Some of you had never seen these Scriptures. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Praise God. This is, as I've been studying it, everything, meditating on this, my awareness of this fact of who I am in Christ and the righteousness of God has been growing on the inside of me. And it just is so wonderful. Just is changing my whole attitude, my whole outlook. Life is taking on a much more wonderful outlook because this is coming alive to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For He, referring to God, hath made Him, referring to Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Now, He's talking here about how that Jesus took our place. You see, we were the sinners. We were the ones that deserve wrath of God. We deserved punishment. We'd gone our own way and so on. And it wasn't the right way. But this says that Jesus, who knew no sin, He never missed it. He never made a mistake. He never did anything wrong. He knew no sin, yet God made Him to be sin for us so that we, this is the reason God did it, so that we might be made the righteousness of God. And notice this, it doesn't say that we might be made the righteousness of God when we get to heaven. That's the idea that we've had. Everything is when we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, then, you know, it'll be all right. But this says we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When do you become the righteousness of God? Whenever you're in Him. Now, if you don't get in Him till you get to heaven, well, then you don't become the righteousness of God till you get to heaven. But if you get in Him here and now, then you're the righteousness of God here and now. Isn't that right? Okay, remember what it said over there in Colossians 1:2? It said, the faithful brethren in Christ. It said they were already in Christ, didn't it? Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And over there in Ephesians, it tells us, by grace are you saved. And it says, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now let's just talk about that a minute. You see, we were born again in Christ Jesus. So that means we're in Him whenever we're born again. So we're the righteousness of God whenever we're born again. Is that right? Now here's what I want to talk about. For we are His workmanship. Workmanship in the Greek there in Ephesians 2:10 is from a word. Looks a lot like poem. That's where we get our word, poem. We're God's work of art, His masterwork. That's what it means. His great work of art, God's workmanship. What's God's workmanship? We are. that are saved by grace through faith. This is God's masterwork, masterpiece. I mean, you know, great painters, maybe a Rembrandt or Michelangelo or something, somebody like that, you know, maybe they have a great amount of works of art that they do over their lifetime. But usually they'll have one great masterpiece, one that, boy, this is their crowning work. This is the greatest thing they did in their whole life. Well, that's what it's saying there in Ephesians 2:10. He's saying, look, you are God's masterpiece. You're God's crowning creation. Who? Who's it written to? The old creation people? No, it's written to the new creation people. Those that have been saved, born again by God's grace through faith. Isn't that right? Now, here's the thing. It just really gets me now that I realize this. Most Christian people go around saying, oh, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Oh, I'm nothing. I'm so unworthy. I'm so weak. Now, how would you like it if you were a great painter and you made a great painting? It really was a great painting. Can you believe you could do that? Sure. You made a great painting and you gave it to me. And you came to my house and I had this painting on the wall in my closet, shut in, because I was ashamed of it. And I says, oh, that painting, it's just so no good. It's so terrible. It just looks so bad. I just don't want anybody to see it. How would that make you feel? You'd probably rather me just walk up and slap you in the face, wouldn't you? I mean, you probably spent years doing this. And it took you a lot of time and painstaking effort. And then I come along and say, well, this is just an old, no good painting. Well, that's what we do to God when we come along and say, oh, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a nobody. I'm just nothing. I'm nothing in the kingdom of God. The Bible says that you're God's workmanship. And I want to tell you this. Well, let's just go back here to Genesis and let you see it for yourself. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and the last verse of Genesis chapter 1 says, which is verse 31, and God saw everything that He had made. This is talking about the first creation here. God saw everything that He had made, and behold, that means look and see. Look at what God has made. Behold, it was very bad. Is that what it says? It says it was very good. Now, God didn't say it was just good. He said it was very good. I want you to know that God's never done anything that it was even just good. Everything God has ever done has been at least very good. Do you get that? When God made you a new creation in Christ Jesus, you're His workmanship. He didn't make you just good. He made you very good. You say, well, boy, I sure hadn't been acting like it. Yeah, but it's because you didn't know it. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, awake to righteousness and sin not. See, you find out who you are and you'll start acting like it. You think you're just an old no good and you'll act like an old no good. That's absolutely the truth. The same will work in every area. You raise your children and put into their minds like some people do, which is such a tragedy. Just hate it. They feed them full of a bunch of doubt. Oh, you no good dummy. Don't you know anything? You'll never amount to anything in life. You make so many dumb mistakes. And well, you feed that kind of thing into the child. What's he going to act like? He's going to act like an old dummy that's no good and he'll never amount to anything. That's right. You're going to have to feed something into him, put something into him. Well, as long as you think that you're a nobody, you're going to act like a nobody. But when you realize that, hey, I'm God's workmanship. God made me in Christ Jesus. And I'm in right standing with Him. Even though I may stumble and fall and miss it, I'm in right standing with God. The angels, as far as they're concerned, I have just as good a standing with them as God does. Because my standing with them is God. And I'll tell you, those angels are good to have on your side. Praise the Lord. Well, God saw everything He'd made, and behold, it was very good. Very good. Praise the Lord. Let's Praise the Lord. Let's see. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, there's some things I'd really like to get into. I guess we're not going to have time right now, but we'll get on into them later, and it's going to be good. I can hardly wait myself. Praise the Lord. So, let's go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise God. Boy, you get into this unrighteousness and it just opens up seemingly, and there's just so much you can study and so many things that, praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, remember, the Bible says that we're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30 says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus." This says you are in Christ Jesus, of Him, "who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Let's take the last verse first. You see, when we say, well, I'm God's workmanship, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, I'm a new creation, we're not bragging on ourselves. We're not glorying or boasting about ourselves. We're bragging on the Lord. Because we didn't make ourselves, did we? Did you? Did you cause yourself to be born again? No. All you did is receive Jesus, and He did the work. So this is saying that he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. When you're saying, I'm in Christ Jesus, and God has made me a new creation, I'm the righteousness of God, you're bringing glory to God. You're talking about what He's done. You're talking about His master work and saying, praise God, this is a good work that God has done. You see that? You're not bragging on yourself. Now let's go back to the 30th verse, and it says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom." As I meditated on this one time, the thought came through, I believe it was from the Holy Spirit, the thought came through like this, as I was thinking about that, you know, He's made unto us wisdom. What does that mean? Made unto us righteousness. It came to me like this, referring to the old creation. God made clay hands unto Adam. Now that's just the words that you came in, clay. In other words, the dirt. God took the dirt of the ground, didn't He? And He made that hands unto Adam. And I don't know why hands came about, but it makes an easy illustration. God made the dirt, the clay, hands unto Adam. And that's where you got your hands, descended from Adam, right? Now, let me just ask you a question. Are those your hands? Get them. Everybody get their hand out in front of them. Let's, come on. Look at your hand. Get your hand out there. Is that your hand? Is it? Did you deserve that hand? Did you work for that hand? You didn't even ask God for that hand, did you? How'd you get it? You're just made with it, weren't you? But did you deserve it or earn it? No. Okay. God made clay hands unto Adam. Well, God made Jesus righteousness to us. You see that? Just the same way as He made dirt hands, He made Jesus our righteousness. Okay? Just as our hands, we didn't earn them or deserve them or anything, but they're ours and we use them, don't we? You don't ever think, well, let's see, is this my hand? Can I use that? You just use it. It's yours, right? Well, the righteousness of God is yours too. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. You didn't ask God for it. Yeah. You know, you just didn't have any right to it at all, but God gave it to you. He took Jesus and made Jesus unto you righteousness. You know what that means? Jesus has made unto you righteousness. That means you have the same righteousness as Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ is your righteousness. Jesus Christ is your righteousness. That means you have the same standing for righteousness means right standing. You have the same standing with God as Jesus Christ. And I know that's pretty deep, isn't it? You think about it. You have the same standing in heaven as Jesus Christ. I mean, the angels won't move any faster for Him than they will for you. You have the same standing as Jesus Christ simply because Jesus Christ is your standing. Now, if you've received Jesus as your Lord, that's where you stand. If you haven't, man, what you got is nothing like that. You have the same standing as the devil, and that's no good. I mean, the whole universe knows he's a loser and a el dumbo. But when you're in Christ, but of Him, read this, read it for yourself. Verse 30, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. This is talking about those that are in Christ. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness? He's made unto us righteousness. And we're supposed to use that righteousness just like we use our hand without thinking about it. I mean, and this is not a good thing for you to be doing. I'm not advocating that you fight, but let's just use this as an illustration anyway. If somebody's coming to beat you up, you know, they're about to hit you in the mouth, and you stand there and you think, now, let's see, is this my hand? Well, yeah, I guess. Do I have a right to use that? Would it be all right if I hit them? Well, if you go through all that, they're probably going to knock you flat and be kicking you in the mouth before you have a chance to hit them, right? But normally what most people, or a lot of people do, is they'll hit you before they even think about it. I mean, you don't think about whether I can use this hand or not. I mean, you know it's yours and you just trained yourself to use it. Well, the same way with righteousness, you got to train yourself. Your thinking and your heart, you got to feed it in and feed it in and feed it in till you know, look, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus is my righteousness. Whenever I need heaven's help, I have a right standing there because Jesus is my right standing. I'm the righteousness of God. The devil can't discourage me and tell me I'm no good because I'm God's workmanship. I'm the righteousness of God. And if you don't know that, do you know what will happen? The devil comes along with his steamroller, try to hit you in the mouth and then run over you, and you're sitting there thinking, oh, let's see, do I have a right to ask God for help? Will God hear my prayer? Will God help me? Will God get me that money that I need or that help in my physical body that I need? Well, by the time you've wondered all that, the devil's already probably got you knocked down in the first round, and you're going to have to start playing catch-up. See what I'm saying? You've got to get it so established on the inside of you in righteousness that you know who you are, and when you know who you are in Christ, then you're going to act like it. That's not going to mean you're going to be a haughty person. It's going to mean you're going to be a humble person, just like Jesus. Jesus was the righteousness of God, and He didn't go around, well, I'm the righteousness of God and you dirty old sinners. No, but He was the righteousness of God. He knew who He was, and you can know who you are, and praise God. You see, it's because we know who we are that we didn't deserve this, but God gave it to us, and it's available to whosoever will, that we're going to go out and do what we can to cooperate with God in getting the message to them so they can receive it too. Isn't that right? Praise God. In Isaiah 54, it says, thou shalt be established in righteousness. I believe it's about verse 15. Well, I'll just look it up for you. It says, thou shalt be established in righteousness. This is right after the great redemptive chapter of the Bible, Isaiah 53, where it talks about Jesus on a cross. Isaiah 54:14 says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. We've got to be established in righteousness. You need and I need to hear righteousness preached over and over and over and over. We need to get these scriptures on righteousness out of the Bible, and we need to meditate on them. We need to think about them and think about them. How does that change my situation because of what God's Word says? This says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. No, you're not going to be afraid anymore when you realize you're in right standing with God, because after all, God is God. I mean, He's bigger than the devil, isn't He? When you realize that you're in right standing with God, I mean, God's not holding anything against you. Everything's clear. God just treats you just like He'd treat Himself. Do you get that? I mean, if you have the same standing as He does, well, He's going to treat you like He would Himself, wouldn't He? I mean, is this really true, or is this just a bunch of double talk? I mean, is this true, or is this just a bunch of fairy tales? We got to make a decision. I mean, if it's true, this is the best news that this planet has ever received. That a dirty, old, rotten, no-good sinner who'd spit in the face of God, who'd curse God, and who'd went his own way, the worst person that ever lived, I don't know who it has been, and it could care less, but whether it was a person like a Hitler or some cruel tyrant or whoever it was, that by receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior and making Him the Lord of their life, they can become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things are become new, and all things are of God. The worst sinner in the world, by receiving Jesus and being born again, the old things in their life pass away. All those old past sins and shortcomings and failures are blotted out as though they'd never existed, and they become a new person on the inside. Now that's good news. Not only are they forgiven, but they become the righteousness of God in Christ. In other words, from being the worst person in the universe, maybe, by receiving Jesus, they become as good as God. I didn't say they're going to act as good as God. There's a lot more in this study, you know, we can go into. But the fact of it is that they're born again, just like a child into your family. The child is born, and he's born perfect. He's born complete. But then the child needs to mature. And in that maturing process, you know, he may make some mistakes and so on. Well, praise God, this is good news, isn't it? We're the righteousness of God. We're in right standing with God. We have the same standing that Jesus Christ does. Now, let me just say this in closing. I didn't say you were Jesus Christ. I didn't say you were God. I'm not trying to undermine God. I'm not, trying to make us out to be greater than God. All I'm doing is telling you what Jesus has accomplished for us. He's always going to be the Lord of lords and the King of kings. But you see, for Him to be the King of kings, there's got to be some other kings, and that's us. See? He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the head, but we're still in the same body. You understand that? And the only way you get into it is by acknowledging Jesus as your Lord. You make Him your Lord, and then you get all the privileges that He has. Glory to God. You got right standing with God. He is your righteousness. Let's stand.